All right, the book of 1 Thessalonians tonight, 1 Thessalonians, and because of the time, we're going to preach through the whole book tonight, and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, if you want to find your way to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and I'll just read one verse of Scripture. I take that back. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture and look forward to what God has for us tonight. The thought and idea of thankfulness, and one thing we have to fight as Christians is just to make it an annual event. It's a time of holiday. It's a time of fellowship. Now, I'm all for having something on the calendar to say, okay, today we're going to reflect. Today we're going to be thankful. It's like Memorial Day. I think you get together, enjoy the day, but you ought to think about those who gave their life so we can have our freedom. And so Thanksgiving is the same as far as that goes. But for a Christian, we have got to make sure that we have thanksgiving and not just Thanksgiving. Many years ago, I guess it's hard to believe how fast time goes by. 10 plus years ago, I spent a lot. Hundreds of hours of research. Some of you remember, and I taught in the emerging church, and all that mindset, and as studying that, when you look at some of the scripture where you have that seducing spirit and you have that different spirit, one thing that I found in the midst of all that teaching is the sin of ingratitude. It just didn't fit there in my mind. Not too long ago, and I would encourage you, if you don't have this book, I will give it to you if you'll promise to read it. It didn't have pictures, so just, you know, I'll preface it with that, perilous times shall come. When I took 2 Timothy 3, perilous times, the book is have come. And you go through that list of all the things that Paul writes to Timothy and says, all these things, those perilous times are going to exist in the church. And right in the middle of that is ingratitude. And unthankfulness. Again, when you compare it to everything else that's there, it doesn't seem to fit. And then, you know, as I wrote Satan's Culture recently, I did a lot of study, and a lot of that is anchored in Romans chapter number 1. The rejection of God leads to that reprobate mind of an individual, of a church, of a nation. And in the midst of that, how does that happen? Well, it gets to the place where there's no gratitude. I'm saying all that to say that gratitude is important. There is a lot of Christians who sat in a church like this and even sat in this very church, and you would not recognize them as a Christian. They're eat up with bitterness. They don't even look like a Christian. They've rejected all things. You say, where did all that start? I would submit to you that ingratitude. They didn't take the time to be grateful for what a Christian mom and dad provided for them. Well, Pastor, my parents aren't perfect. Why do we start with that? Can we just establish that nobody's perfect? Yeah, like Johnny, you were the perfect child, okay? Of course your parents aren't perfect, but if they put a roof over your head, food on your table, and brought you to church, you ought to be thankful for that. Well, the pastor, he's not perfect. I've got a wife and 3 daughters that remind me of that all the time. And if I misspeak tonight on that rare occasion, but if I misspeak tonight, it'll be in the family text thread before I get out the back doors. Believe me, I don't need to be reminded I'm not perfect. I know. But you can still be thankful for a pastor that preaches the truth. You don't have to like him. But if he's preaching the truth, thank you for that. A church, you know, that's where we get off in gratitude. You look at our nation today. Look at our nation today. I would submit to you that we are ungrateful for what we have in America. Wow, America's got a lot of problems. Yeah, we know that because we live here. That's why we have problems. But it's still the greatest nation on earth. We still have freedom. We still have all of those things. You know, there's only one person we can look to and say, I'm grateful for them, that's perfect. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be grateful for Him. If you don't want to be a Christian that gets disenchanted with this world, you don't want to be a Christian that becomes one who turns their back on the very people who God has used in their life, then keep your gratitude. Keep your gratitude. And so we want to be mindful of that. And you don't have to, somebody doesn't have to be perfect for you to appreciate them. You got to appreciate people. Now, I'm saying all that to say that gratitude is important. Can we all agree on that? If we can all vote unanimously tonight that we all agree on that, I can take 15 minutes out of my sermon. So do we all agree that gratitude is crucial important?
Amen.
Wow, man, you are with me tonight. That trims it down to 55 minutes after taking out that 20 minutes. Man, this audience is engaged tonight. I want to read verse of Scripture. The verse of Scripture I want to use as a text is verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5. But again, you know my love for the Paul's epistles because they're so personal and they're so, if we look at them that way in the view of a letter, yes, I know he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and God had him pen every word that he wanted to pen, but God used his personality, his relationships, his experiences. And wrapping up this letter to the Thessalonians, he gives at the end of chapter 5 a lot of practical advice. And if you notice in his letters, there's the personal admonitions, the personal acknowledgments of his co-laborers, if you will. As he gets very practical, we see in verse number 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. That's a good thing to do, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Good advice. Rejoice evermore. That's two words, but there's a lot packed in there of Christian living. Then pray without ceasing. You say, Pastor, how do we do that? We should always have that communion between you and your God. You shouldn't have to clear out a lot of things to get in a mode to pray. It's a continual heart towards God. Then verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see the pattern they're building on each other. You're rejoicing, you're praying. Then in everything give thanks. That's not some things. That's not most things. That's everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can break down that verse, and whatever you go through is the will of God for Christ Jesus, but it is the will of God for you to give thanks in everything, every situation. But Pastor, God didn't know what I'd be going through. No, God didn't know. And so he wants to remind you that in everything, you can find a way to give thanks. Well, I prayed for God to heal them, and God took them home to heaven. Well, give thanks for heaven.
Amen.
You can find something to give thanks for. But then we go to verse 19, quench not the Spirit. I wonder if verse 19 and quenching the Spirit has anything to do with verse 18, verse 17, and verse 16. I would submit to you that it does. There's a lot of Christians, I'm afraid, that you've quenched the Spirit of God in your life. Doesn't mean you've lost the Spirit, because once you're saved, you're always saved. He's always dwelling in you. But if you can quench His power, you can quench Him in your own life. How do we do that? Well, we're not giving thanks as we should. Now, I am going to be abbreviated tonight. We already voted on that because we all agreed being grateful is important. It's going to be very practical tonight. And so if you have a pen, you may want to get a pen out because I'm going to give you some homework. Say, we have to have homework? Absolutely, I'm giving you homework tonight. And for those of you that grew up in the digital age and you say, can I take notes on my phone? No, because you're going to pull up a football game. And so we're not doing that. But I want to give us a Thanksgiving challenge. Three things every Christian must do this week. You must do it this week. Now, you're not quite as excited right now as you were of getting 20 minutes off the sermon, are you? Here's a Thanksgiving challenge. Just ask the Lord to help us. Father, help us tonight in these few minutes we have. May our focus be on you, and may we be reminded, just as it is with charity, if we have the proper perspective of you, we'll have the right charity. If we have the proper perspective of you, we'll have the right gratitude. And Father, help us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. We are reminded of our text tonight, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Often we are guilty of saying, well, God knows my heart. And even when it comes to things like gratitude, and yes, can I remind us, God does know our heart, but often we use that as an excuse to not do what we're supposed to do. See, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's not just a meal. And if Thanksgiving is not a big holiday to you, I understand, you know, we'll deport you later, but, you know, it's holidays, I love Thanksgiving. I love that holiday. I love everything about it. I love the founding of it, the purpose of it. I love the fellowship of it. I love the food. I have Southern roots. All God's people said amen. Some of you didn't say amen on that. You're not on board with that. I love the traditional Thanksgiving feast. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm not mad at you. I don't trust you, but I'm not mad at you. I like the turkey. In the Neal household, you know, this was a deal breaker. My wife and I were dating, so I had some important questions to ask you. What about salvation? It wasn't about all these things. It's like, is it stuffing or dressing? Now, she gave me the wrong answer, and so she had to get on the right page to get into the house. We have the traditional dressing. If you know, you know. Maybe next year we'll have a dressing fellowship instead of a pumpkin. Anyway, I enjoy it. I love it. But you can enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday and not celebrate with all those things. Because it's not really about, if you understand the history of the Thanksgiving holiday, man, there's a lot behind that. There's a lot for us to be thankful for. And we're blessed, and there are those who will gather, and they don't have the ability to have that. I'm joking tonight when I say, if you don't do it this way. I'm using some humor with that, because really it's not about the meal. It's about the sentiment of why we take a national holiday and set aside a day of gratitude. See, it's not just the meal, it's not just the tradition. It is a Christian discipline. I've been using that word a lot recently when we talk about getting addictions out of our life and different things. It's a discipline. It's against your nature and it's against my nature to be grateful. Because all our flesh is always self-serving. Our flesh is always what is, it's right determined by how I feel about it. And I want more and I deserve more. But friend, you and I must be reminded we don't deserve anything but hell. And anything we get above that through Christ, that's something to rejoice in. It's a Christian discipline. I mentioned a moment ago all the places that ingratitude shows up that you wouldn't think it shows up. It shows up in the spirit of false doctrine. It shows up in apostasy. It shows up in rebellion. It is something where we have to have a Christian discipline to say, I'm going to discipline myself to be grateful. Pastor, I don't feel like it. Well, sometimes I don't either. But the Christian life isn't about what we feel like. It's about, first of all, what we're commanded to do. And even more than that, it's about the fact that He's worthy of my thanksgiving. And if He's worthy of my thanksgiving, then He's worthy of me disciplining myself so that I can be appropriate in my thanksgiving. See, God does not ask us to feel thankful. Well, I don't feel like being thankful. So what? Be thankful anyway. It reminds me, like, you know, y'all know I got three brothers, and growing up, you know, I was the peacekeeper. They were always fighting. I'm trying to keep everybody out of fights. And And from time to time, my mom would say to my brothers, say you're sorry. I don't feel like it. Well, I didn't ask you if you felt like it, say you're sorry. Or some of you, it's you see this now, and we all went through it with our small, when we had children were small, and it's like somebody gives them, somebody say thank you. That child don't feel like, they don't feel like saying thank you. They're just concentrated on, look at what I got that I wanted. Well, I want them to feel thankful. Good luck with that two-year-old, feeling thankful. Well, when they say they're sorry, they mean it. No, they don't. They're saying it so you get off their back, Mom. I make that illustration because we are the same way. It is not in our nature. And sometimes I don't feel very thankful. That's a dangerous place for you and I to be when we don't feel thankful. That's not my message tonight. My message tonight is when you don't feel thankful, be thankful anyway. Well, if I don't feel like it, how do I do it? That's where the discipline comes in. That's where the decision comes in. God does not ask us to feel thankful. He commands us to give thanks. There is a distinction. We so many times base our Christian life on how we feel about a certain circumstance. I don't feel very good about the pastor right now. It doesn't matter. You should still honor him. Why? Because God's commanded it. Well, my mom and dad, I'm mad at them, and they took away a privilege. Well, you should still honor them. Why? Because it's commanded. So many times, well, I don't feel like forgiving them. God didn't ask you to forgive if you felt like it. He said to forgive. It's a distinction even with thankfulness and gratitude. He doesn't ask us to feel thankful, but to give thanks. I can give thanks when I'm feeling thankful, and I can give thanks when I'm not feeling thankful. See, if we would just focus on the commands that God has set before us and discipline ourselves to follow those commands, we would find a lot of changes taking place. Just like some of you, You were okay with church, but it's like, man, I'm in and I'm out. But then you made up your mind, I'm going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek Bible study, and now you love church. Because you had to you can't tell me I felt like being there every time. You don't feel like being there every time. Some of you don't even feel like being here tonight. You're just here for the pie. But if you'll discipline yourself and say, this is what God wants from me so that I can honor Him, this true with gratitude. He commands it in everything. Notice our text verse. It gets lost amongst pray without ceasing and quench not the Spirit. In everything give thanks. I know the King James Bible is hard to understand, but I think we all get that. In everything, He is not saying be thankful. I can walk you through some tragic circumstances in my life, and I can't tell you I felt thankful. Even to this day, there's times I don't even feel thankful about it. But I can give thanks. I'm not thankful for a sick child that dies at 8 months, but I can give thanks that I had her for that long. I can give thanks for a heaven. I can give thanks that God will use her life. I just don't feel that. Can I confess my humanity to you? I don't feel it either. But I'm commanded in every circumstance to give thanks. Not just when, if I can say it like this, the table is full, but when it's empty. Not just when the spirit, I just haven't said a spirit of gratitude, but when the heart's heavy. This has been said. I'm not the first to say it, but I remind us of it tonight. To be thankful, you must be thankful. I don't have anything to be thankful for. I mean, Jesus doesn't hit that list. Calvary, grace, mercy, forgiveness. That sounds pretty good to me. The reason why we're not thankful is we don't think about those things. Pastor, I'm in a valley. I'm not thankful for it. What should I be thankful for in the valley? Let me just answer it the best way that I know how. I am commanded, we are commanded in everything, give thanks. You don't have to feel thankful to give thanks. It's a spiritual discipline. So with that being said, I have a Thanksgiving challenge that I want us all to participate in. And and this is something you can be thankful for. There's only three. Trust me, if you don't think I could have come up with 30, I could have. Oh, somebody just gave me side eye like they don't believe me. Okay, I'm going to give you 30 tonight. Number one, the first thing of the Thanksgiving challenge is to express it. Not just to feel it. Well, I feel thankful. No, express it. In Psalms 107, verse 2, we're reminded, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What God is saying there, you're redeemed, say so. If you're saved, shouldn't you say so? Same is true of if you're thankful, say so. Well, I just walk around with this fuzzy feeling in my heart. That's heartburn. That's not gratitude. Express it. Can I just say most people feel thankful, but very few people say it? God reminds us in several passages, and I'll not have you go to all of them tonight, but God says thanksgiving must be expressed, not just experienced. We as Christians fail in our praise and our gratitude to our God because we feel it, but we don't express it. If I went around the room tonight, I don't think there'd be anybody in here that would say, I don't have gratitude in my heart towards God, but would that equal with the expression of our gratitude to God? Don't you like it when somebody, why don't you ever tell me you're thankful? I just feel it in my heart. Well, how about the Almighty God? He knows, well, Pastor, he knows. I know he knows our heart. I know he knows that. But don't you think God is worthy of us to stop and verbally express to him, thank you? Now, here's the challenge this week. This week, verbally thank 10 people on purpose. Verbally thank 10 people on purpose. Now, don't go over there and with 10 teenagers serving pie, thank every one of them for your pie. That's not what I'm talking about. Be people in your family. You know, if you were reared in a Christian home, when's the last time you said thank you to mom and dad for that? It's not a birthright. This is going to sound self-serving, but, you know, pastor will take a thank you every once in a while. I mean, I could preach longer. If you have people who've played important roles in your life, someone in the past who has prayed for you, someone who's carried a burden with you, someone who's made an impact on your life before Thanksgiving Day arrives. That's Thursday. Say the words out loud. You don't have telepathic powers. You can't stare at them and say to them, I hope they're going to get it. Say it out loud. And in this challenge, everybody with me? Texting don't count. It has to be verbalized. It has to be said out loud. Not only should we verbalize it to God, God, thank you. This is why some of you looked at me like I was crazy a little while back when I said I hate to have any noise on in the car. I don't. If you do, I'm not saying it's a sin to listen to whatever, but that's just my time. I like to think. And then if I'm going to talk to God verbally, it's a little less awkward when there's people in the car with you. But express it verbally, 10 people on purpose. Now, you're going to defeat the purpose if you run around. As I said, the teenagers, don't run around the auditorium because I got my 10. Bingo, Pastor, I got my 10. Now, there might be someone in the auditorium tonight that you want to thank, but say it out loud. Number two, the second part of the Thanksgiving challenge, write it. Not just think it. In Psalms 103, the psalmist writes, "Forget not all his benefits." We forget what we do not write. See, David recorded the blessings of God. I mean, there are some today that are anti-reading, anti-writing, because we live in the digital age. Now, if reading's not, I sent out some stuff to the staff men in encouraging them to continue reading, because you can grow. Now, if reading doesn't come easy to you, I understand that. I'm not fussing at you tonight. I'm not going to get off on that. But what I'm saying is, writing is important too. You ought to make notes of some things. Well, I'll remember them. That's not true. I've preached a lot more than you're remembering. Some things are worth taking the time and say, let me write this down. Today I just want to make a list. I want to write down what I'm thankful for. David recorded the blessings of God. You realize the Psalms are filled with lists? From David to the other psalmists, they don't just say, I'm thankful. Everybody with me? You've read the Psalms before? Think about it. It's recorded, I'm thankful for this and thankful for this. In my valley, God was there. With my enemies, God delivered me. He provided for me when I couldn't provide for myself. It's just a list of gratitude, 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 gratitude. Those psalmists wrote it down. Well, Pastor, they run under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You don't think God will bless you for writing down what He's done for you? Now, the first part of this challenge was 10 people. You still with me? Say out loud before Thursday, thank you. Second part of the Thanksgiving challenge is to write it. Say, Pastor, what are we doing? Everybody write a psalm. I'm just kidding. That's not it. But some of you are going to think this is just as hard. I want you to make a list of 50 blessings before Thanksgiving Day. Did you say 5, Pastor? Nope. Did you say 10? Nope. I said 50. I don't know if I can get that many. This is going to be good for you then. Because 50 is not going to be as hard if you're truly honest. And if I can't come up with 50, then you and God need to spend some time together anyway. I think you'll be amazed at how quickly you can come up with 50. And then when you do this, how much deeper your gratitude will become. Include spiritual blessings. How many of you have been saved at least a year? At least a year. You mean to tell me in a year's time as a child of God, we can't come up with some blessings we can write down on paper? Of course we can. Provision. Protection. Write down people you're thankful for. Write down some open doors that God has given you. Some of you, as I preached on ministry this morning, some of you are serving in ministry in ways you never thought God would let you serve. That's an open door. I can make a pretty good list of closed doors too. That I didn't realize at the time they were going to be the blessing they are. How about those trials that grew you? You didn't like them. It's okay that you didn't like them. You wouldn't go through them again, but you can look back and say, God grew me through that. He provided for me in that. And let me just, before I give you some more ideas, you're going to have to take longer than 60 seconds to do this. You're going to have to set your phone aside. You might have to cut something out of your schedule. You might have to get up a little bit earlier. You might have to sit and just think for a little. Meditate. How about answers to prayer? be a good habit for us to get in. Every time we ask God for something, write it down, and when He answers it, write down that answer. Answers to prayer. Well, if you're a parent and all your children are saved, there, how many children, however many children you got, that's blessings you can put down on paper. How about strength that God's given you didn't have, or you didn't know you had? If you've been saved longer than a year and almost everybody raised their hand, there's probably been circumstances that you've been through already said, I didn't know how I was going to get through that, but here I am. How about mercies you did not deserve? I think we can come right now on 50. Well, I feel it. Okay, I'm glad you feel it. I'm thinking about it. I'm glad you're thinking about it. This is a challenge for us to speak it. And then also to write it. Let me make a list. Because you, in order to do this, you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to think about what God has done for you and the goodness that you have, and say, Pastor, my life's not perfect. Nobody's claiming it is. Well, I've got trials in my life. Everybody's got them, and it may be a heavy season of trial in your life. That's why this is important, because whether we're on a mountain or in a valley, God is still good, and we don't just need to think about it. We need to write it. I promise you, when you do this, it's going to deepen your heart in gratitude towards God. You know how many times God gives us, blesses us, and answers prayer? We don't even know He's doing it. It'd be good. This, I hope this turns into not just an annual exercise, but into a daily exercise. Right on third, the last part of the Thanksgiving challenge. I said number one, do you remember what that is? Express it. Number two, write it. Number three, oh, I didn't give you that one yet. Give it. Well, you already said, say it. No, it's more than just saying it. Give it. Gratitude is not complete until it is given. It's not just spoken, it is given. So what do you mean? Okay, let me explain. Give something this week that cost you something. For me to say to Brother Chaney, I appreciate you, I appreciate your service, that is something that needs to be said. I mean, I don't mean it, but I mean, that's something that needs to be said. But what did those words cost me? Nothing. Now, for some, if you've got to put down your pride to say it, put down your pride. Well, I don't say thank you because I deserve it. No, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the people God puts in our life. We don't deserve it. So we can say it. It costs us nothing. We can write it down. Say, well, Pastor, it cost me the ink. No, you stole the church pen on your way out. It didn't even cost you the ink of a pen. But for us to give it, it needs to cost us something. Then they give you some illustrations. And then you, between you and God, give something this week that cost you something. You can give a sacrificial offering to the Lord. You know, we're so adept at giving, and if you're not giving out of your blessings and abundance, you need to get that fixed. If you're not giving out of obedience, you ought to get that fixed. But what about sacrificing something? I don't mean we give up our livelihood. I mean, if God asks us to do something, we do it. But, you know, you and I could go without that third latte before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of you, more of you registered than that than I thought would. But you know what I mean? Why don't we give a sacrificial offering to the Lord? Maybe you can buy a gift card for a struggling family, a single mom. How about taking a widow out for a meal? How about a generous tip? How about just some extra kindness to someone who cannot repay you? And we all have Sunday school teachers. We all have, if your students are in our Christian school, I don't like the way they taught math. Well, maybe gratitude will change your mind about how they teach math. But let's do something for somebody who cannot repay us. How about a note with a gift in it? Well, Pastor, everything you're talking about costs something. That's the point. A gift doesn't have to be something that you have to take of a lot of monetary value. But if there's thought behind it, if there's meaning behind it, if there's gratitude behind it, I promise that is precious to someone. But it would cost me some time. It costs me some effort. It makes me express my feelings. And for some, that's a big deal. Something personal that reflects gratitude. See, I remind you what we're commanded to do is to give thanks. How do we give it if we only feel it? You ever thought about that? Well, I feel thankful. Well, that's not what that verse says. That verse says, give thanks. Well, God knows my heart. Well, let's just take it a different level, if you will. Let's let the words come out of our mouth. Give thanks. Somebody dies and you go to the funeral and you give a eulogy, there's a lot of thanks that's given. But don't you think it would be a good idea that we say thank you when they're living? We ought to say it. We ought to write it. It deepens our depth of gratitude by doing that. And then number three, now this is a challenge for all of us to not just say it, but to give it. There's so many illustrations of this in Scripture of how there were some who people wanted to do something good for Moses, for Abraham, and he would not take their gift because they said, it has to cost me something. And quite frankly, and this isn't just gratitude, but this is in a lot of areas in the life of a Christian, we want to serve God as long as it doesn't cost us something. I'll show charity as long as it doesn't cost me something. I'll give forgiveness, but that costs me something. And even when it comes to gratitude, may we not have the attitude and the spirit that I'll be thankful as long as it doesn't cost me anything. So, in conclusion, our Thanksgiving assignment, express it, verbally thank 10 people. Write it, list 50 blessings. Give it, give something that costs you something as an expression of gratitude. I just like to think that if all of us obeyed these three simple steps, Thanksgiving would be more than a day on a calendar. You know what we need in our country? A revival of gratitude. Well, we have people positioned over here, political, positioned over here politically. You know what would solve all that? If we're grateful for the nation that God has given us, something tells me that would change a lot of our ideology if we're truly grateful. We need a revival in our churches of gratitude. This could be a great help to us, and it's an example of what we need to set. So in conclusion, take the challenge tonight. Verbalize it times 10. Write it times 50. And show an expression of gratitude that costs you something. Cost you time. Cost you, say, well, I want to show them some gratitude. You know, you say, all I can get is a little $5 gift card or something. I can't even afford that. I promise you, It ain't that cup of coffee that you're buying, it's the fact that you were willing to not just say it, and saying is important, but you are willing to show it. I did something to express this. Let's take the challenge this week. In everything, give thanks. Father, help us to be more grateful. Help us to give thanks and be thankful to you. May we express our gratitude to you on a day.